This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Some creatures have a signature smell. Others make a notable noise. But when it comes to humans, forget scent and sound. We're most easily identified by one thing, our faces. From almond-shaped eyes and thin lips to button noses, the potential combination for facial features, well, it seems boundless. But is there a reason? Is there a reason why we can do all these things for these multiple mugs? And are other parts of the human body as varied as the face? Researchers at UC Berkeley's Museum of Vertebrate Zoology looked at why our faces may have evolved to be unique. The work is published in Nature Communications this week. Joining me now is one of the authors of the paper, Michael Sheehan. He's an NIH postdoctoral fellow at UC Berkeley. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about your research. Why? Why are human faces so varied and different? You know, if you look at other animals, you know, they sort of very similar, but human faces, no two are alike.
Right. So at least part of that perception comes from the fact that we're just really, really good and really quite intent on looking at human faces. And we have a lot of experience with that. But there is also even sort of if you go and measure humans compared to other animals, human faces are a bit more variable. So it's not just that we're used to seeing humans. There is something a bit odd happening. And so the explanation that we came up with for this is that we know that human faces are used in recognition. Right. So as you just mentioned, we use faces to recognize people. And I'm sure everyone, of course, has that experience in their own life. And you can imagine that if faces are important for recognition, it's then important to look different from one another. So if everyone looked the same, recognition would be impossible. And so if there could have been selection, you might imagine, for individuals to be more distinctive, more unique in their appearance, allowing themselves to be more easily recognized. And that's sort of the basis behind our paper.
Mm-hmm. Does social behavior drive the evolution of the human face?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the basic idea in this case. So, you know, as individuals are interacting with each other across lots of different potential social contexts, right? So I think, you know, sort of every interaction we have with another human is really predicated on being able to recognize who that is. You know, you interact really differently depending whether you're interacting with your boss or your mom or a friend or someone who you just are meeting for the first time on the street. And, you know, the fact that we can do that is all predicated, those all sort of, you know, our social behaviors are really varied and they're all predicated on this ability for recognition. So given that social behavior is such a crucial part of our lives and has important impacts on our fitness, then you know, we therefore should look more recognizable in order to sort of deal with all these social interactions and have others know who we are.
Has anybody done research on our reactions to what a face looks like? You know, style and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So there's been lots and lots of research in this area, thinking about sort of how people process faces. We know a lot about as well, like sort of the neural pathways involved in recognizing faces, and sort of some of the downstream processing of that. Sort of what had been missing a lot from the research is thinking about how all the variability that we're processing and that we're, you know, using for recognition had actually come to be, and that's what this study addressed here.
Yeah. How does it? I mean, why do other animals in the animal kingdom look so similar? What happened to us? Evolutionary or down through history that made all our faces different.
Right. So I should point out, too, it's not necessarily, and the paper doesn't argue that it's limited to humans. There are other animals as well that also have really distinctive features that may not necessarily be their face that are also quite social and use it for recognition as well. So in humans, it actually probably goes back quite a long ways. Many other primates also have individually distinctive faces that they use for recognizing individuals. Sort of what sets our study apart is we've actually gone and asked whether this is sort of just, you know, a background level of variation, something that you can kind of use, you know. So our fingerprints are also really variable, for example, and you can be identified by them. But, you know, no one would argue that there's been a lot of selection for our fingerprints to be variable and distinctive since, you know, it was only relatively recently that people began using them for recognition. And generally, when you get recognized by your fingerprints, nothing too good happens to you, right?
So speaking of fingerprints, how did you collect your fingerprints how did you collect your data to use to compare all these faces?
Yes, we actually made use of some publicly available data sets, and so we actually didn't collect any new data for this study. It happened that the U.S. Army had done a large survey measuring the body parts, so faces and arms and legs and torsos and things like that, of a large number of service members back in the 80s. And so we used this data set that was available of sort of measurements of body parts, so things like the length of the nose, the length of the arm, you know, how long your leg is, you know, all these sort of different sort of point A to point B measurements you could have, and compared them for the face to the rest of the body.
Apart from our faces, are there other features, perhaps like the sound of our voices, that could have evolved to differentiate one person from another?
Yeah, and I think, you know, one expectation is a similar process has likely gone on with our voice. You know, and I think that it's in humans, voices and faces are probably the two main things. But in other animals, you know, it could be really anything that they're using to recognize each other. So as you mentioned at the beginning, so scent, like if you think about dogs running around peeing everywhere to mark their territory, it wouldn't surprise me if they have evolved to have more individually distinctive urine smells, for example.
Mm-hmm. What other animals have different faces?
So actually some work I had done during my PhD dissertation was on paper wasps. So actually a common paper wasp found throughout the northeastern United States has unique variation and coloring patterns on their faces that they, like humans, use to recognize each other. And, you know, a similar process has happened there as well, where this variation has evolved in this case because we were able to show that it's actually beneficial for these individuals to be recognizable. When everyone looks the same, there's sort of more chaos and individuals end up fighting everyone a bit more because they don't know where they stand in the hierarchy in the case of the paper wasps. Mm-hmm. So basically when confusion can be costly. You can get sort of aggression that's not meant for you, or someone else could get a reward that was meant for you. And in those situations, you can expect individuality to evolve.
Each one of us has a little bit of a Neanderthal in us, and we're now finding out that we sort of coexisted on the planet at some sort of time and some while ago. Is there any evidence that they had, you know, unique faces too?
There are a number of Neanderthal skulls that people have examined, and they're not all identical, just like humans are not identical. So we were actually able to look a little bit at this. There aren't a lot of Neanderthal genomes available, but there is a genome available for a Neanderthal. And we were able to compare some of the genetic variation we see in modern humans to that genetic variation we see in Neanderthals. And we don't know whether Neanderthals were necessarily variable at the same regions associated with facial morphology in humans, but we know that from this analysis we had done that some of the variants in humans, you know, have evolved or have been in existence for millions of years because they date back prior to our split with Neanderthals. Mm-hmm. So some of the same features that make our faces variable are the features that made our ancestors' faces variable a long time ago.
Huh. Very fascinating, Dr. Sheehan. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Michael Sheehan, an NIH postdoctoral fellow at the University of California at Berkeley.